This is On Being's Unheard Cuts. I'm Krista Tippett. You're listening to my extended conversation with Gloria Lowe. She is CEO and founder of We Want Green Too. This interview is included in our show, Becoming Detroit. Download the MP3 of the produced show at onbeing.org.
Flickr?
Yeah, you're probably right.
But we could take one, definitely.
You can also come back to Detroit anytime you want.
That's true.
We've already had to say it all the time. You can stay in the house.
Wow, look at this place.
Cinnamon sticks.
Yeah, somebody gave us that. I thought it had died. I wasn't sure it had a scent anymore. You know, you get accustomed to it.
Yeah,
the space and everything. So,
it looks like you got a new floor waiting to go down.
I have to acquire two more boxes. Two more boxes, yep. And we'll be ready to go. Wow. But yeah, this is the project house. This, you know, I guess relating to Wayne and Myrtle, I went to high school with Wayne. And we were both part of the Northern High School Walkout. And then I rediscovered him 2 years ago, I think. We were in a organic store over on Jefferson, on Kercheval, buying food. And I heard this voice, and I said, Wayne Curtis? And went around, and there he was. Just a fantastic artist and a great guy, I remember. So at that point, I got involved with, he told me what he was doing with Feet of Freedom. And got involved with Feet of Freedom. And we, in some kind of magical way, we started this relationship where their whole thing was about the garden, and my thing was about houses and how we work with folks in community and try and help them to rehab their souls as well as this place. Mm. So the story starts out that I worked for, I'm a brain injury survivor myself, and I started working for a law firm and working with disabled vets. And we started having conversations as I was trying to help them get some money. And the guys were just so down on their luck, you know, and you heard these stories of guys who came in from Vietnam, like Wayne.
So when was this?
This was, I started working for Anderson & Associates in 2007.
Okay.
And you kind of wondered, I wondered, what could I do? How could I help these guys? And a friend said, Glory, we need some help. My son has a house up in Jackson, and it's like out the 60s, and we need you to kind of bring it forward so he can sell it. He just got married. And I said, oh, okay, this is an idea. So I approached these four guys about helping out, because, you know, all men have skills in construction. They all know how to do everything. So I said, okay, take everything you know, and we went up on the weekends. I had recycled a lot of stuff in this house. We took that stuff up there, and needless to say, we got off on Cooper, which is going right into Jackson. Didn't realize that one of the guys in the back seat had spent a little time in the left lane, which is into Jackson Prison, and we were going right, and he totally freaked out in the back. And we're like, uh-oh, what's going on, what's going on? And then he starts crying and says that he never wanted to see that place again because of how it had destroyed the relationship between him and his mom because he was just stupid. So, okay, we went to this house. And as these guys started moving around in that house, they started telling their stories. My girlfriend and I stayed downstairs just listening. And we heard them talk about the war in men's terms. And then we heard somebody crying. Then we heard them laughing. This went on every weekend. And then you started seeing men stand up You could literally see it in their bodies. I said, what is going on here? And realized it was this healing process. They were working, they were laughing, somebody gave a care about what was happening in their worlds, and they managed to get a little stipend. So what did this mean? It meant a lot for guys that are 40 and 45 years old. They hadn't seen their children. One guy left his wife and five kids because he couldn't stand to look at his children after killing children in Vietnam and became crackhead. Couldn't stand it. Walked away from that business and everything. So now he's got a little money in his pocket that he can go and find his oldest son and say whatever he needs to say to his son and feel like he's a man again. You know, so it was that going on. And then, of course, part of my recovery was to watch Van Jones on Bioneers on the computer and start to study green and become an environmentalist, right?
Was this all in the last couple of years?
This is all since 2005. I started Bioneers actually in 2001, but since 2005 moving forward, yes. And the pieces just started to fall.
So I think when you tell those stories of working with these guys who are so broken, right? Yes. I mean, it's just layer on layer on layer of grief and loss and tragedy.
Yeah.
It sounds debilitating to work with that, right? It sounds like you would lose hope.
Oh, not at all.
No.
Not at all. Is the... part of my own personal transformation, I think it's probably the transformation that anyone who has a brain injury goes through, is that you lose contact with the things that you've been taught. And in doing so, you become like the birds. You start to do things instinctively. So you know about the human spirit. So all I did was transfer what I already knew, and these guys did what was in their spirit to do. They rose up. They rose up, you know, just by, oh, yeah, I've been doing this for years. And yeah, right, okay. And the talk, the conversation, and the working. And when you stand back and say, wow, yeah, I like the way that looks, you know, whatever it does for a man inside to have pride in what he's doing. And all I had to do was lay out the plan. Because this is not the typical build. I didn't go around, okay, I want 6 bolts over there, blah, blah, blah. Do, let me see what your spirit is leading you to do. Because my spirit is leading me to do something too. And we're not going to question this, we're just going to do this. And this is what, you know, I mean, Jackson was great. The family came in, looked at the house, gave the guys a 7-course Italian meal. They spent the night, they ate well, they slept well. And then when we got ready to pick them up, it was like, we don't want this to stop. What is this? We want this green thing, too. So that's how the name came about. We Want Green, Too. Because I was talking what I had learned from Bioneers.
We Want Green, Too is the name of what?
It's the name of my training program.
Okay.
And the guys are, this is our second project, actually.
So they've been doing this, then this house?
They did this house, yes.
It's gorgeous.
And it's not yet finished.
Yeah,
we've lost some of them because they actually have jobs. They work for the VA. They've gone to Florida to find a family. We got one just came back from Tennessee. You know, one's a painter. He's going to do some training this spring. So they now, not only are they standing up, but they're giving back. This is how you build community. And, you know, and so there was a plan. They said, well, we want green, too. You got a space? Yeah, let's do this space. And in this space, the first thing we did was put the window upstairs. It looks like a half of an eye. That was the vision we had. And why? Because we wanted the community to see possibilities. And they did.
We have to
they
get
put
a picture
the eye
of that.
In, and everybody was walking down the street looking up like, wow. In my community? Yep. Yeah. And it went from there. So please, take the tour. Take the tour. It's not so much about my story as it is about your story. But, you know, this work is done by This floor is laid by a guy who had two head injuries in the military. Two. I mean, he's lucky to be alive. And just the perfection. This floor, the lines in this floor are probably straighter than the house. But to see him pull a line all the way from the kitchen to the living room, be so focused in their art, in their creativity, and laughing. And the guy who, I would have certain lines, this house has a lot of straight lines in it. We ended up calling him the professor. He was good with numbers. And he could lay things out for the guys and measure things out. Say, oh, no, a little bit to the right, to the left. And they were like a family. So all I had to do was run out and try to make a little money to pay him and buy everything else that was needed. And this is what they did. This is what they did.
Are you living here?
I live here now, yeah. I've been living here now about a year.
And will you live here until it's done? Or are you going to stay here?
Well, I will live here until it's done. But I'm not sure that this is going to be, I think this has kind of served its time. Mm-hmm. And through the Box Center and talking to a lot of people, I now want to create an intentional community over here.
Oh.
So this may just be one of the houses. I'm trying to acquire the property in the back, mm-hmm. talking to some architects at U of M. I would like to level this and create a co-housing unit that's done with solar. That's the dream now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think that's the dream that's going to bring back this community.
Mm-hmm.
So what's it take just to acquire? I'm just kind of curious from a very pragmatic logistical level. What's mm-hmm. it take to acquire property and all the things?
Right now it's difficult. A lot of strategy in Detroit for a person like myself because so much of this property is controlled by corporations, not necessarily in Michigan. Not necessarily in the United States. So the work that we do in community and is kind of under the radar is to build relationships with folks who believe, as we do, in the vision for New Detroit, who will oftentimes come in and say, what is it that you need? And then we simply tell them, I need to have this property. You know, this is an extension.
What was going on with this property before you moved in?
This one?
Uh-huh.
Nothing that I know of. Was owned by an older lady and her husband. They lived here. The sons were here, not doing good work. She just wanted to get rid of the property.
Mm-hmm. So she sold it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Do you have some before and after pictures?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So the big to do is really upstairs. If you guys.
Oh, I love that bedroom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just people need to see possibilities once you've begun creating them. Because then the questions come.
Yeah.
So this initially was going to be like a common house and start to invite the neighbors in and listen to the questions. Well, how do you do this? How do we do this? What is the advantage of doing this? And it's a very real advantage. If the law firm that I work for did Social Security, that if a person hasn't worked, their check is $674. A house this size was roughly 2,000 square feet. The heating bill in this house, heating and light, was $510.
Yeah.
So that leaves you $160? You can't. It's very difficult to survive off of that.
Yeah.
The heating bill in this house now is like we did 272 after doing a lot of baking and stuff over the holiday. It's a big difference. That $300 allows me to do something else. And if we look at it in terms of the cost of housing moving forward, a unit like this, what would we, you know, how would we like to look at housing, sustainable housing moving forward? Two people with a work that's paying a living wage, you know, what would that housing unit look like? Well, sustainably, we know that they could live very well and be very comfortable.
because the utility cost would be under $200. Way under $200. Mm-hmm. The unit itself, I mean, it depends on who's owning it. That's why we're talking co-housing. You know, a leasing situation, lease, you know, buy it later down the road or something. You have to learn to be creative. And if we learn to be creative instead of being, you know, trying to be the richest capitalist we could possibly be, then you learn to work with people. You have a relationship that says, okay, you know, what's comfortable for you? I mean, that's a different kind of America, that you actually ask somebody, what's comfortable for me? Well, you know, if you're dealing with authentic people, right-minded thinking people, they're not going to tell you, well, nothing is comfortable for me. Come on. You know, we're better than that. They would be honest enough to say, $350 a month, $400 a month. Okay, that's cool. Let's do that. And it's done. It's done. And it's good for everybody. So that's what we want to see happen over here. So we're talking to neighbors. We have neighbors down here. Before we started this work, the kids were dumping the whole nine yards. They don't dump over here. We've had folks come out and do their houses again. Had an older couple just bought the house next door to them. My neighbor over here just bought the one across the street. So you see things moving because the possibility's been laid out. Oh, she can do it. We can do this. That's how human beings are. Fear and awe. If they can see it happening, they know the possibility. That takes care of some of that fear. Mm-hmm. And we get back to knowing what it's like to work together, to have a community where children can play and not chunking rocks through windows and all this kind of stuff. And what may have looked like an eyesore is a house. It can be transformed. It can look like whatever you want it to look like. So, you know. Christy, you looking like, woo!
Yeah, I'm feeling that.
I mean, spiritually, we talk about spiritual transformation. Mm-hmm. This is it.
I was going to say, also, when you talk about an intentional community,
yes.
What's your vision for that? Let's use Gracie's question, what's the philosophy behind that?
That, I don't know about the philosophy behind it, but I know that it seems throughout history and even throughout my own lifetime that people are so much happier living in an environment where everybody is sharing and caring. Mm-hmm. You know, I talked to Wayne and Myrtle because the field over here, we tried to find out what developer owns it or whatever. Of course, we never get an answer. So my architect teacher said, well, Gloria, what you do is take it and you apologize on the back end. So we're going to take that and we're going to create a garden where kids have raspberries and some fruit they can eat and fruit trees, and they'll create their own benches, and we'll do things so that they can see a different kind of world, a different kind of life. These kids don't know butterflies. Okay. I mean, come on, that's kind of, you don't know butterflies? You know, so if we bring back, you mentioned rediscovering. This is a part of rediscovering
right.
who we are as human beings. And a little bit before, we got so concerned about the money. And we lost out on who we are. I mean, what the history, the statistics say that Americans have not been happy since 1950. That's sad to me.
Yeah.
And yet I've done some conferences. I did Bioneers this year. And I asked a young lady, 27, I said, when was the last time you were in awe? She said, what? Awe? A-W-E. Awe. She didn't have an answer. When was the last time you played? Play? Yeah, the silly stuff. Yeah. She didn't have an answer. She's 27 years old. I talk to young people who will tell me, last year I tried to commit suicide. Now that's the one that really gets me. I say, how old are you? 22. 22? Trying to leave here?
Why? That's a big disconnect. Yeah. When a 22-year-old does not want to live. What's that about? You know, you're talking to them, you know that they're coming from a point of privilege, and you don't want to live. Why? Because that money doesn't take the place of this. Right. You know, we don't wrap our arms around our children. We don't tell our children we love them enough. And then they have to come out into this crazy world, and we expect them to survive and do so well. With what? Where's the foundation? So we have to get back to community, because that's where it starts. Starts with the family and the people out here, your neighbors and all, and your elders are the ones. I remember running to my elders, you know, my mom wouldn't let me drive. I wanted to drive. It was imperative. You know, so I ran to the elder down the street and I said, look, you know, da-da-da-da-da. And they come up and they have the conversations. That meant the world to me. These children don't know anything about that. Matt Burkow, one of the young folks, professors that works with us, told me at the conference, he said, Gloria, I'm 35 years old. Everyone that comes after me comes into a world of violence, not of peace, not of happiness. How would they know? So, we want to go upstairs?
Show them upstairs, and then we should go.
Okay.
I want to show them Avalon so they get a sandwich. And
yeah, coffee and good stuff.
Kristen needs to stop at the hotel, too.
Right.
Gentleman that did the kitchen floor.
Oh my gosh.
Did that. He designed the whole bathroom.
That is so fabulous.
I said, what do I give you for doing this? He said, how about a towel cutter? I just blew by.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Great.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah. So what is it that we need to do that we don't already have? Mm-hmm. We have workmanship. Labor, people who love to do this are here.
Because what this looks like is luxury, right? I mean, it is luxury.
Sure. Any place that you design based on what's in your spirit is, in fact, luxury to you. This is luxury for them. But the point is, you can have it. We don't have to look to West Bloomfield.
Right.
You know, your space ought to look the way you want it to look. And the way it is, your castle, your palace. Mm-hmm. It's where you come home.
Have you ever connected with the people at something called the Rural Studio in Alabama? You should. You ever heard of them?
Rural Studio? Never heard of that.
Well, we did a show on it, so you could listen to that show as an introduction. It's an architect who died a few years ago, Sam Mockbee. And it was all about how everybody deserves beauty and design, whether they're rich or they're poor, and that we need that for our souls, not just because we need places to live.
That's right.
And they've been building houses. They work with architecture students, and they've been building houses in one of the poorest counties in the country, in Alabama, rural.
Hale County.
And they've done amazing things with efficiency and environmental.
Yeah.
You know, they've got a $20,000 house that they built.
Shut up! Yeah, that's my kind of.
And but it's all about what you don't sacrifice is the design and the beauty.
That's right.
And it's interesting just to think, I love thinking about you getting together with them because you're in such different places, you know, the landscape, it's rural.
Yes.
But you would love them and they would love you. It's called the Rural Studio.
If you have connections at University of Michigan, they have a great architecture school, they'll know.
And University of Alabama. It's Auburn.
It's Auburn University.
Auburn University.
Okay.
Anybody from Michigan, if you have contacts or you develop,
other programs around the country, architecture schools, because the other part of that is that you have a lot of privileged architects,
yeah,
architectural students, that have only been relegated to paper.
That's right.
So they've never had to interact.
That's right.
With their clients. They never had to think about the practicalities, mm, or that what they design on paper may, yeah, be sterile.
Right.
What I find interesting about that, Krista, is how it started out with a lot of homes, but the newest director's taken is into community,
right,
different types of places, is whether it's dog kennels.
Yeah, that's dog, right, shelters. Yeah.
To meet real needs. Yeah. Yeah.
Because moving forward, America will look different. Mm-hmm. Detroit will look different. And it's enough room here for those who would want to set up some type
you got,
of industrial agriculture on the outside. Or for the power players to be down in the core of the city doing their high-density thing. And for us to create walkable communities that work for us. But how we get the minds together to do this and work cooperatively as opposed to competitively is the issue.
I think one thing you're helping for me as I think about it is that a lot of times it becomes a competing theory.
Yes.
That one has to win, that there can't be multiple theories.
Right.
The high density a lot of times is what's taken and it's applied to a whole city.
That's right.
When a whole city is very distinct, as I just drive through here, right?
Yeah.
And you talk about a walkable community, one person's definition,
yeah,
of what's walkable and livable. Let you breathe or see the butterflies, yes, in another person.
Yes.
It's very different. Yeah.
Well, I think, and it's for that reason that when we speak about intentional communities, you're speaking about a number of people all on the same page who share the same values, you know, who can work cooperatively and create a space that works for the needs. You know, as we look up down the street here, there's an old abandoned store. We would want to acquire that store. So as you're growing vegetables or we have people with various talents, they have an outlet for that store. That, I mean, possibilities are just what they are. They, you know, you're only limited by your own imagination. You know, and imagination. Because money in our thinking is the gift. You know, I'm not a designer. But no doubt, I have thoughts, I have visions. And they've been put into play.
Mm-hmm. Well, looking around, one of the things I appreciate is you see all these old homes. There was a mass movement. I don't know if it happened here, I'm assuming, in the 70s, where just knock it down.
Yeah.
So you take away the history.
That's right.
And what you're doing is revealing the history but recreating it. I mean, you can't really do this anymore by code.
Yeah.
You know, it's more planking.
Yeah,
you have to have plywood.
Doors.
Like, so they're they're exposing the planking that forms the roof.
Yeah.
Now you can't do that. You have to use plywood sheaths. So once that's gone, it's gone because of different types of code.
Yes.
And so now you've got a design aesthetic.
You mean you couldn't build it this way?
You couldn't
anymore.
Build it this that's way right. anymore, no.
That's right.
No. You couldn't have these types of details. So you see the boards that are over the rafters. The rafters, yes, are running this way to the peak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you see the boards here.
Yeah.
How they kind of lineate. Then they have a line that draws.
Yeah.
In most cities now, you couldn't do those wide boards like that. You'd have to do a big 4x8 foot sheet of plywood,
yes,
because it's less impermeable and there's different types of structural.
That's right. Yeah. You know, so, you know, even at that, what this does open up for, especially in this city, because they're forever tearing things down,
yeah,
is for us to recreate work. We have deconstruction all around us that allows us to reuse, recycle, recreate wood pellets and other things that are needed for wood stoves where we may be moving in that direction. So there's no loss, you know. There's only that constant recycling of what is here to create something that's new.
I think Walter, when I was talking, when I was, he was talking about the sense of work, the definition has enlarged for him doing this work, that it used to be jobs. Work was equal to jobs, the word jobs. And now work has different types of meaning. There's that it's more expansive.
I think it has always had different types of meaning, yeah, because that was what we did initially was work. Work as an extension of our creativity.
Mm-hmm.
Jobs came into being a couple hundred years when we started looking at industrialization and the power, the 1%, and got the 99% to agree that that skill, that's something that you have, would benefit us both. Especially, I can give you a little money for it. See, back in the day, people never believed that they got paid for work. You know, if you're going to pay me to do what I do, then that takes away my freedom. So they didn't believe in that. And we just got coerced into it after, you know, people started creating this mindset. They started creating their own program that said that, yeah, we can not only just pay them for their labor, which is you're working for somebody else. And when did our wages flatten out? 1970. We were working ourselves to death and no longer even being paid for it. So what was the difference between our wages in the 70s and the amount of money that corporations were making, which was way up here? All that gap became profit. And then what happened? GMAC started, just GMAC and their banks with our money. Then we borrowed our money again. Credit cards, I mean, it's just going on and on and on and on and on. And those, that 1% never has enough. I mean, you're a multi-billionaire. If I take one of your billions of dollars, I mean, is it going to make a difference? For real? No. But, you know, I saw this piece on Lynx TV. One of the Koch, Charles Koch, was someplace that they're pulling this oil from Native Americans on the land. And they're paying them like $30 a truckload, right? Well, he tells the truckers, I want overage. I want overage. If you don't give me overage, I get you fired. And the guy says, one of his guys says, well, I don't understand. Why do you want overage? You're not paying them. He said, because it's mine. And I want all of mine. How you stand on somebody else's property and talk about what's yours? And enough is not enough. You got money, yeah. But it's still not enough. That's an illness, and we have to be careful of that. That's an illness. I thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Gloria, do you know that Emmanuel Pratt, I just got an email from Godzilla.
Oh, yeah?
And he said, Emmanuel Pratt is part of a network of architects. He went to architecture school at Cornell.
Okay.
And he is so excited about the summer projects that we're talking about.
Yeah.
He wants to bring them all to Detroit, his whole network that he's been since he finished college some 20 years ago.
What?
So I was just flashing when you were talking about architects.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Dr. Chaffers is trying to put that together as well.
Mm-hmm.
Who, I guess he was the chief of architecture at U of M. But, oh, let me get you.
Right. This is Gloria's blue
book. Yeah,
I got both of them. You got some pulp
there, too. Yeah, somebody handed me that.
Okay, good. So you got all that. Good. Okay. All right.
Here
comes the painter. Hello. Hi.
Gloria is just here.
Yep. How's it going today?
Okay, how about you guys?
Have a nice day. Thank you.
So I should
charm.
Get back to the hotel.
Okay, I just got to the hotel. If you come back in 2 years, you'll be off the grid. Won't have any.